answering your tough financial questions with a little humor and a lot of fun. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are joining the program here. Both myself and my co-host, we're both financial advisors. Before you change the station.
Yeah. Slow down.
Oh, yay. Financial advisor.
What a lucky day.
Sometimes I don't even know what to become. I was embarrassed in my industry.
Oh, sometimes. You know what I mean? Sometimes.
For crying out loud.
It's just filled with.
Certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, quarter century of experience each.
Registered investment advisory firm.
Been doing this a long time.
On the air for over 20 years.
Fee-based advisory firm.
Managed over $2 billion.
Thousands of clients. Anyway, the point is we are practitioners of our trade. We meet with clients, people like yourself, throughout the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air. So whether you've got advisors you work with now or you're doing things on your own, we want you to consider this program another source for valuable information. And we try to take, although we take the subject matter quite seriously, we try to take the show not quite so seriously and ourselves not quite even less seriously than that. So try to have a little fun with this.
It is the weekend.
Somewhat boring. And yes, we understand that not everyone loves talking about money or thinking about money. Or
most people don't.
Most people don't.
Most people do not.
People fight about it, usually yes, around spending or bad investment decisions.
Yes.
Or, I mean, how many times over the years, Pat, have you seen someone come? It's like the one spouse makes the other spouse go see go hire an advisor, right?
Yes.
Because they
yes,
did some, blew something up.
Yes. And
some
then
bad trade, and something went south.
I've had it where that I say, okay, well, obviously Bill or Mary likes doing this. Let's just put some money aside, but they can continue that, and then we'll manage the bulk of it.
I mean, I was this last week talking. It was the same. I'm confident that the individual was quite astute in investing, had a lot of experience investing, but yet a good chunk of the money was without. And I thought, I have a feeling that the spouse kind of, it was, I don't know if it was necessarily the spouse. It was, but clearly at that stage in their life, they had plenty of assets. They actually did very well. Business opportunity did very well. Plenty of assets. And I think it was just, he just wanted to make sure that he didn't mess things up.
Oh, that's good. That's you appreciate that.
And because I always say, look, not everyone needs a financial advisor. Interesting. Vanguard did a study in the last year or two on the value of a financial advisor. First of all, is it really worth it paying for a financial advisor? I believe actually a lot of them, it's not worth it. But let's say you get a good financial advisor. Is it worth it? And Vanguard did this independent study. That is the study that showed that a financial advisor can add up to 3 percentage points a year in value. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily extra return, but the extra came from things like
helping savings or estate planning.
About half of that was from those issues. Tax savings, right kind of plan in there. The other half just dealt with behavioral finance issues, such as keeping people invested, that sort of thing. So anyway, Vanguard had an interesting study.
And the problem is, Scott, as
we
alluded to earlier.
And I think Hanson McLean, I think we have it at moneymatters.com, if you.
The study. But as you alluded to earlier, the problem is finding a good financial advisor. Because everyone calls themselves a financial advisor. An insurance salesman calls himself a financial advisor.
I think I
advisor.
Mentioned it last week, didn't I, in this program? The Uber driver was a financial advisor?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Uber driver, financial advisor. Oh, I'm a financial advisor as well. Oh, really?
So the problem is what you're looking for is a fiduciary. That's what you want, is a fiduciary. Someone that has a obligation to put your interest above their own. Someone that is not commission-based.
Yeah. Absolutely. On every area, not just, I mean, the big Wall Street firms,
many of them are not fiduciaries.
But you manufacture products and whatnot.
Yeah, many of them are not fiduciaries. And that's why it's difficult choosing a financial advisor. So at the end of the show, if you walk away and say, I learned something, then we did our job.
That's right. Even though we are financial advisors.
Yes. And sometimes ashamed of it. Actually, if people ask me what I do, I'm so embarrassed sometimes. I tell them I'm a lawyer.
Lawyer. Shoe salesman.
I'm a personal injury attorney.
Personal injury attorney. The trial attorney, Pat.
No, wait, that's what they
trial
call
attorney,
now.
Not trial a personal attorney. Attorney.
Although they trial very attorney. Rarely go to trial.
Huh?
Although most personal injury attorneys very rarely go to trial.
A good
if
one.
If ever. A good one, yes.
unless they want the punitive damages.
Yes. Well, anyway, this isn't a legal show.
Anyway, this is a financial program. We talk about things of that could pertain to you and your finances. And we take calls answering questions that you bring to us regarding something in your financial life. If you've got a question about your retirement, got a question about some estate planning, taxes, really anything financial related, to join the program. Love to take your call. And we have people answering phones as we speak.
Yes.
To join the program, 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. And it'll get you on the program. I want to mention a story. Met with, this was in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I forgot to mention, because when this woman told me this, I said, I'm going to tell the story in the air.
You told her that?
Yes, because she says, please do. So,
this client?
Yes, been for a number of years. Came in, one of their adult children passed away, unfortunately, unexpectedly. And the adult child had two children of their own, teenage kids. One might have been 18, somewhere around those ages. And we had been divorced for over a decade.
I think I know where this is going to end.
So divorced over a decade, had a life insurance policy, and had the ex-spouse listed as the beneficiary because the life insurance policy was taken out.
While they were married.
While they're married, more than a decade prior. I forget how many years prior.
Probably a term life insurance policy.
I don't know what kind of. I didn't bother asking at that point. It was irrelevant.
All right. Good enough.
Well, the reason
was that
I say
a whole life or a variable universal life.
And the reason
policy,
I would think it was as a term life
insurance. Did it get that through a captive insurance agent?
Scott, if it had
friendly
cash,
State Farm agent, or was that through SelectQuote?
If it had cash value in it, they would have addressed it in the divorce as to who was going to get it.
All right. But they did not.
They
obviously
did not.
And so,
apologize for making fun of me. That my
I'm not going to apologize for making fun of you. I still make fun of you.
But my question had validity. Anyway, so
how often do you see people with life insurance cash value fighting over in a divorce?
We see plenty of divorces.
Yes,
you don't see that.
And
much,
the havoc it creates.
You
on
normally see them liquidated.
You don't see as many cash value life insurance.
Nah, you don't
anymore.
See as many as you do. Okay.
Not as much life.
Well, that was a stupid question, and you do not owe me an apology.
Thank you, because you're not getting one. So, but here's what happens, right? Go back to the story. Man was married for a number of years, got divorced, had been divorced for more than a decade, and had forgot to change the beneficiary designation on his life insurance policy.
So his ex-spouse is named as the primary beneficiary on a life
insurance
policy. He
had been paying for the policy for the intent of having those dollars take care of his kids should something happen to him. These are maybe college age or approaching college age kids. So now the ex-wife beneficiary says, well, I'll hold on to these dollars and I'll just invest them and make some good. You know, I'll take care of these dollars holding them back.
Okay.
And, of course, my client is thinking, I've seen that some of the ways that the money's been handled, but there's nothing that can be done. Nothing. Even if you went to court and tried to petition
couldn't,
the court.
Because it is a named beneficiary. It's a contract. It's a contract.
So the ex-wife could say, even though he wanted the money for the kids, I don't want it
the
for the kids.
The kids are 18?
They're on their own. I'm going to go enjoy life, going on the cruise.
Well, let's hope that didn't
cruise.
Happen. Let's hope that didn't happen. But we've seen it many, many times with beneficiaries.
I've seen it so many
IRAs,
times.
In IRAs.
And so when I had my own client, obviously it wasn't her accounts because we make sure at Hanson McLean, we make sure that the beneficiaries are structured properly. One of the things that we talk about when we do reviews with our clients and even our 7 personal decision points, one of the areas that clearly that we address with this is making sure the beneficiary designations are set up properly. But the problem is, you can have your trust state all kinds of things. You can have your trust spell out, the kids are supposed to get the money this much at age 25, and then I want a spendthrift clause in there for this. You can do all kinds of fancy things in your trust. You can have a will that states all these different things. But if you've got a beneficiary designation which listed something other than that trust or that will, the account will be transferred based upon whomever or whatever is listed as that beneficiary.
The trust or a will doesn't matter. State law doesn't matter. It's a contract.
A beneficiary designation is a contract.
And so this will occur with life insurance?
Now, technically, lawyers, please don't call me and say it's
We're not giving legal advice.
We're not giving legal advice. It operates as a contract.
I did have an attorney once tell me, you know, I've heard you guys actually cross the line on giving legal advice sometimes. I looked at him like, oh, come on. I mean, from your perspective,
yeah,
give me a break.
Yeah,
I certainly don't practice law, nor do I intend to practice law.
So,
but we've seen this also on 401k plans. Anything that has a beneficiary listed on it. So life insurance could be a term life insurance, could be life insurance through your employer, could be life insurance. Maybe you're retired and maybe you have some life insurance carried on as a
your employer, all the time.
You see that, right? So you might have been something that was.
We have hundreds of clients that have retired from AT&T.
They have life insurance.
And they have life insurance.
Until the day they die.
Until the day they die. Or at least used to. I don't know if they do anymore.
Yeah.
They,
I don't know the
if the new contracts do, but people that retired. And it's not unusual for someone to come into our office and say, oh, I inherited this money from my dad. And, he worked at AT&T. Well, there's probably life insurance there for him.
Correct. So you might have it through an employer. Also a 401k beneficiary. IRA beneficiary. 403b beneficiary. 457 beneficiary. These are all individual things that must have the proper beneficiary. You die and you have something, someone or something listed other than the where you intend the dollars to go, it will transfer based upon whomever or whatever is listed as a beneficiary.
And more importantly, Scott, though, I got to tell you, more importantly, is that if you have an insurance policy you know about that is from your employer, you need to put notes in your records that someone's going to find when you die that says it exists.
Well, that's not more important, but that's
it's equally as important. We'll cut it at that.
All right. To make sure that someone knows that the life insurance.
That the life insurance. Because the insurance company will not contact the beneficiaries. Did you see that 60 Minutes piece a while ago?
What? That's weird. Insurance companies don't want to pay out
they
the
benefits? They stop the annuity payments if they're coming from the annuity.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, they check the Social Security death rolls and they stop the annuity payments immediately.
But not pay the death benefits.
But they don't pay the death benefits.
Oh, gosh. That doesn't look
good. Yeah, great 60 Minutes
doesn't
piece
sound
on that.
So good.
That's why you've got to really love free journalism. All you've got to love journalism because of
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Free press is, yeah, is so essential
it's
to our society.
It is. Really.
Oh, really is. Anyway, so beneficiaries, check those beneficiaries, important thing. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll start taking some calls. 1-888-2-HANSEN. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Got a question? Visit moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSEN. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. To one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
That's right. We are one of the longest-running financial programs. Matter of fact, Hanson McLean's Money Matters has been in existence for almost 21 years now. Hanson McLean. Both myself and Pat here, we've both been doing this radio program. It may be newer in your market, but it has been around a long time. And
so thank you for
listening. I think we have as many listeners. We've got thousands. I forget how many, 15,000 on podcast listeners a week, something like that.
If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, go to iTunes and look up Hanson McLean, H-A-N-S-O-N. And if you like it, do us a big favor. Can you rate us highly? And the reason is there's some sort of algorithm, blah, blah, blah. Our marketing people told me, blah, 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 algorithm. If people like you, you're rated higher, that suggested more.
Did you hear the term algorithm when you were in high school or in college math classes? It's one of those.
I heard it in college.
But they were equations, mathematical equations. Everything's an algorithm now.
Well, that's I don't know why it is, but
everything's algorithms now. It's not equations.
Algorithm, and maybe that's the same thing. I don't know. I'm not a math guy, although I'm fairly decent at math, and you'd hope
Pat's one of those guys that can do quick multiplications and subtraction stuff on his head. So you're in a room with eight people and you're trying to do quick math. Everyone looks at Pat and he's like an idiot savant.
Thanks. I can't comb my hair. Can't tie a tie.
His collar is always sticking out of his
My
suit.
Collar is always.
He's got a nice custom suit and he's got his collar sticking out of his tie.
Scott, you bought me a suit.
I didn't buy you a suit.
Yeah, the guy called me and said, Scott Hanson bought you a suit.
Well, because you're bragging they hadn't bought a new suit in like 10 years. You look like Zoot. You look like Max Headroom. This thing's so big.
I was talking head guy. I was heavier when I bought that suit. But there was nothing wrong with that suit.
The shoulder pads were above your ears.
There was nothing wrong with that suit. That suit was, listen, I still have my members only jacket.
We need to go last member.
I am the last member.
I think they're making a comeback.
Members only?
One.
I am the last member.
One triple eight.
So anyway,
too handsome.
So Scott, this guy calls me and says,
we gotta take the call.
Hey, Scott was buying a suit from me, and Scott ordered one for you. He said if you didn't like it,
He looked at me weird too. I said, just get Pat. I said, he had done your measurements or something. I said, get him a suit. I said, just order it for him. I know he'll buy it. Look, if Pat won't pay for it, I'll pay for it.
Yeah. I did not. I'm a little cheap.
And then you bought a couple more suits.
I know, but I still am cheap. It's pain to me.
But you look good. That's what's important.
Thank you.
As long as you look good. As my dad always told me, Scott, you don't have to be good. Just look good.
There we go. So if you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSEN or go to moneymatters.com. Moneymatters.com. We're going to talk to Jerry in Elk Grove. Jerry, thanks for joining Hanson McLean.
Yes.
Hi, Jerry.
I've got a question. Yeah, hi. How are you doing?
Super.
Great. I got a question. Back a few years ago, I went into a reputable bank and sat down with the VP of the bank and told him that I was 100% disabled veteran. My wife was 100% disabled, and I wanted to invest the money as I sold these real estate properties that I had into something that was conservative where we could draw income off of it.
Okay.
Well, he talked me into going into two different things, and at that point, the stock market started falling.
So, Jerry, so let me get a little background on this.
Okay.
How much money did you invest in total, and how much in each one of the products?
$375,000 total. Okay. And I think they were split 130, something like that, 135. It was split evenly among the two.
Okay, so half and half, so approximately $180,000 in each one. And what were they?
One was Beneficial, and the other one was a Hartford company. Or, I'm sorry, one was Pacific Life, and the other one was a Hartford company.
Are these annuities?
I think that's what they were.
Yeah, they were. That's probably what
the guy told me that they no longer in existence, but I can't understand that because I know that both them companies are in existence.
So slow down here for a minute. Do you still own these contracts?
No. Panicked and sold them and pulled out the $175,000 out of the two and invested it in MetLife annuity, where we have an income coming in now. But back then, the VP was told that we needed a monthly income to live off. And he just totally disregarded what we told him.
And how long ago did this happen?
Well, I got an attorney working on it, so he's had a suit filed since about 2008, but it hasn't proceeded any further.
You've had a suit since 2008?
Correct.
All right, and had you ever, how old were you when you invested?
53, 54, something like that.
Okay, and had you ever bought a stock or a bond previously?
No.
So did you have a company 401k or IRA that might have had a mutual fund in it?
I had years ago I had a 401k.
Let me ask you, when this thing was falling, did you have conversations with this vice president of the bank?
Yeah, with Wells Fargo. I called him numerous times and said, hey, this is falling. He kept saying, hey, don't worry about it. And I said, but I need it for an income. And he kept saying, don't worry.
Did these have any sort of guaranteed income plans with it that would pay you regardless of what happened to the value of the contracts?
No.
All right. Well, what's your question for us?
This happened in 2008. Okay, what's your question for us?
My question is whether or not I've got a case there to continue on with him, or have I just blown in the wind?
So here, did the attorney take it on contingency?
Yes.
Okay. So here is
so he may not be working.
He may not be working on it at all.
Did you file a complaint?
Well, they just started moving on it here lately.
Did you file a complaint with FINRA?
Yeah, that's what they had me sign here the other day with FINRA.
FINRA.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah. That's the appropriate place, FINRA. So here's where here's where that actually has to happen internally is inside of this thing. They actually have to crack those contracts open.
Well, let's step back first of all. Whether I think your question to us is you want another opinion to think you have a case here, right?
And
we got some attorney that's been going on for years, and you're like pulling your hair out, and you think
it
goes like this. I'm not even going to be around by the time I get some sort of
you.
Stuff.
You very correct. Well may have a case here, and what it comes down to is a case of suitability.
Were these investment products suitable for Jerry based upon Jerry's background, his current situation,
his education, his history of investing, his experience, stated goals, and what boxes were checked when they filed the new account application? So they checked
there
either
was no application.
There was an application. There was a no. There was. I'm just telling you, there was. There was an annuity contract that you signed, and then there was. You signed an annuity contract, and because it was a variable product, there was essentially the broker had to go through and sign. His objective is growth and income. His risk tolerance is moderate.
I'm surprised that
his net worth is X.
So did you file a complaint, a formal complaint
with Wells Fargo?
Yeah, it was done through attorney.
All right, so you may have something here.
I think you have you're –
You may have something here.
And you were disabled at the time?
Yes.
Yeah.
And were you on Social Security disability?
No, I was on
veterans.
100% veterans as well as Social Security disability.
And where did the money come from?
Real estate.
So you sold some real estate.
Of these houses that I bought.
Okay. Yeah, you probably got something. Yep. And what they have to do is
you do.
The first thing is you got to check all the paperwork. It says there should have been a suitability form that
but
was
even
filed.
Even so.
And then you got to crack the contracts open and see how they were allocated. Because, if they were conservative,
they wouldn't have lost.
They were probably 100% equity. So, yeah.
Jerry,
if you were my brother, I would say, yes, keep going. Keep going.
All right.
I would too. And not only are you going for that $350,000 that you lost or 300, you know, whatever, this 175, you paid surrender charges when you took the money out of it. That the
Correct.
Insurance company, which and the broker and the bank that it was sold through got paid commissions, big commissions up front.
Yep.
They probably got somewhere close to $20,000 in commissions on this product up front. Up front.
Well, in addition to that, the real estate guy in the bank, he said, that vice president's going to make you a millionaire. Stay with him.
Well, look,
and
let me just ask this question, Jerry. I'm sorry to interrupt you. By the way, what?
By the way, I've got a piece of property over in Surprise, Arizona I want you to buy. That's a Wells Fargo piece of property. And you go ahead and invest the money out of your sweep account, and you'll have a piece of property there that's going to gain a lot of money. Well, that property dropped as well, and I lost about $50,000, $60,000 there.
The Wells Fargo guy recommended you buy it?
Yeah, and it was a Wells Fargo piece of property.
Really? Yeah, you need to continue the path. And actually, the attorney needs to push this a little bit further.
The attorney doesn't, I would hire someone on an hourly basis.
Yeah, you've got something there.
I think you do.
You've got something there.
I really do.
It was most certainly inappropriate. And it's a shame because
I'm amazed they
haven't
settled on this.
What happens is these big banks, they look reputable. They look reputable. But the broker... He's a broker. How many vice presidents do you think a big bank like that has?
Thousands.
Thousands?
Hard to tell. Thousands. Maybe hundreds
of thousands. If they produce, if they're good commission producers, they call them a vice president.
Anyway, sorry it happened to you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. Sorry this happened.
I'd keep going forward. And what did you say about having a fiduciary, Pat?
Yeah.
Someone has a legal obligation to put your interest. The big banks don't have that.
They don't have it. But they look. They look. They're the big bank. It's the big bank. Right? How could you not trust the big bank? Well, that's not a fair question anymore. No one trusts the big banks anymore. And you most certainly shouldn't trust the broker at the big bank.
Yeah. Anyway, we're taking a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSON, 1-888-2-HANSON. To join the program here, love to hear from you. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Are you questioning if the advice you receive from your stockbroker or financial advisor is best for you? If so, run it by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Simply visit their website at moneymatters.com or call 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. the financially complex and making it simple. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters at 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean, as the announcer man said, we take the financially complex and make it simple. But sometimes I think we take the simple and make it financially complex. But your new book, Scott, Seven Personal.
That takes the complex and make it simple.
I read it from end to beginning, and I was surprised by the beginning.
End to beginning?
I read it backwards. Just wanted to, I started the last chapter to see how it fit.
Was that word for word or chapters?
Chapters.
Okay.
Just read it backwards.
The nice thing about seven personal decision points, whether our financial planning process that we use here at Hanson McLean, in addition to the book as personal decision points, it also goes through our... It breaks
process.
Things down into seven steps. So somebody can take one step at a time. There's a chapter, for example, on estate planning.
There's a chapter on how much money do I need to retire?
Yeah. So a chapter on dealing with the expenses at retirement, that sort of thing. Anyway.
It is taking the financially complex and making it relatively simple. And so the book has been doing very, very well. In fact, the people in the marketing, we have a marketing department here, like just any decent-sized firm does. They said that your article on Kiplinger's, he was telling me so many people went to the website and downloaded the book. So, or
four.
No, it wasn't.
Kidding.
How many was it? It was a big
several
number.
Hundred. I was kind of amazed.
It was
actually
a big number. So if you'd like the book, Scott's new book, Seven Personal Decision Points.
Personal Decision Points, Seven Steps to Your Ideal Retirement Transition.
Personal Decision Points.
Personal.
Go to Money Matters. /moneymatters.com/book. Not really good with the details.
You're not, I know. moneymatters.com/book.
Yes. And you will receive a 75% off code that you can go to Amazon and get the book.
That's right.
And so please do. Please do. Please do.
Yes. Let's take some calls. 1-888-2-HANSON. We're talking with Wayne. Wayne, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello.
Hi, Wayne.
Thanks for taking the call and getting this all together.
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions for you concerning my 401k.
All righty.
I'm sure I'm not the only person in this predicament, but I retired maybe almost 9 years ago. For about 30 years, excuse me, I contributed to a 401k.
All righty.
I have it in a very safe fund at the present moment because things are kind of rocky, but I'd like to discuss what my options are about making a little bit more return on what I'm presently getting.
Okay, and how old are you now?
66.
Okay, and you said you retired 9 years ago?
Correct.
Okay, and are you taking any income from this 401k?
Zero, none.
And do you expect that you're going to take any income that you're going to need? At age 70 and a half, you're going to have to start taking income. But do you need any income to live on that comes out of this 401k?
No, I've got a pretty good pension. I won't get into it specifically, but it's a civil service type pension.
Okay.
And I really don't need the money now. I may in the future. And I would like to see if I can improve the return on
okay.
it. It's maybe 1% at most, 1.5%.
Is what it's earning now?
I am a little scared about what's going on. I kind of move it around every once in a while, but then it hits the fan again, and I kind of bail on it.
Oh, God. And when you say you move it around, because you said you're civil service, and because I know you live in the state of California, I'm going to assume it is a PERS 401k. Would I be correct?
You know, it's not a PERS. This is for the city and county of San Francisco.
Got it. Okay. Very familiar with that. So you have a lot of different options you can choose from, and they allow you to go in at will and move it anywhere you want, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So here is the challenge, Wayne. In any time you move off a guaranteed rate of return investment, whether that's a CD or a savings account, anytime you move away from that, you're going to take on some degree of risk. And risk mean, quite frankly, it might just mean an up and down in investment value. So in today's environment, the frustrating thing is, look, you said you saved in this 401k for 30 years. there was many years when you could have a nice, safe, free rate of return of 5% or 6%. Interest rates used to be much higher, right? So it was pretty easy to get a decent return. Right? Do you remember those years?
I do remember very well.
Yeah, right. We do too.
So, and now the risk-free rate of return in your 401k appears to be about 1%. So,
correct.
What you're dealing with is behavioral finance, Wayne, which is there isn't anything inherently right or wrong with any of those investments in the 401k. It's just how you react to them at certain points in time. It's how Wayne reacts to them at certain points in time. And so the answer to the question is there a way to get better rates of return? Probably. Does that come with a cost? Yes, it comes with volatility, which means that the expected outcome at the end of next year.
Unknown.
The year after.
Unknown.
The year after that.
Unknown.
Okay. But we know historically, if you go out the longer and longer periods of time, the greater the probability that an asset class will return close to a historical norm, which means if you were never saw your statements again, you never got one, and you said, I trust this allocation, I'm going to invest in it and never see the statements again, then the portfolio would do great, right? If I built a model that was,
I'll give an example. So I wouldn't, and by no means would recommend 100% stock portfolio. But if you look at the stock market, we're sitting, roughly 18,000, 17,000, 18,000 on the Dow. When I started in the industry in 1990, the Dow was at, I believe it was 2,000. And it's grown that much. But we've had some bad periods of times, the dot-com boom and bust there. We had the financial crisis. But even in the financial crisis, if you look at how much things have recovered since that. So over longer periods of time, things will go up in value. It's the shorter periods of time that drives us nuts and oftentimes causes investors to pull out at just the wrong times.
So the answer...
Can I stop and ask a question then?
Sure. Yes. Fire away.
You know, we have a very volatile election coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, it's... I'm not going to get into this politically, but...
No, it's hard not to.
We have two people running for office that... you know, I don't know where either one of them would take the stock market. If either one of them, I mean, obviously you're going to have one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But I have no idea what's going to happen
when
it goes. But I'm kind of holding off.
You know, it's Wayne
for that.
So every election cycle, I swear to you, this is true. Every election cycle, we receive phone calls the following day saying, "Get me out
or get me in."
I kid you not.
Get me out or get me in. So, and in fact, on our website, moneymatters.com, we actually have a paper that we wrote that addresses whether markets do better under a Republican or a Democrat.
Actually,
now, these aren't normal Republicans, nor would they be considered maybe normal Democrats this election cycle. Just saying. But what's that?
You covered yourself well.
Thank you. But there isn't an all or nothing, Wayne. So what you might say is, I don't know. So what I'm going to do is maybe I'm going to keep 50% of my portfolio in this guaranteed account. And then I'm going to take 50% of the portfolio and I'm going to allocate it in.
Or maybe I would actually think, find a good advisor, someone that you can trust, someone that you feel understands you. And frankly, you're going to have to do a little bit of time to do some education for yourself on this.
And Wayne, we are normally our own worst enemies, especially when it comes to investing. We are normally our own worst enemies because we internalize things in our environment that may not have any impact whatsoever. And the idea that we're going to be able to call the markets based upon these external factors.
And nobody can.
And no one can.
I did a webinar on at moneymatters.com. I'm trying to remember the title of it now. That goes through ups and downs of the markets.
We should get a list of our webinar. We're gonna get it.
But go to moneymatters.com, search around for it. It's something about market volatility. And it goes through all the bad times and then the subsequent good times that
So Wayne, my recommendation to you would be this. If you can't find a good advisor that you trust, which is a fiduciary, which puts your interest first, they're not selling your product, they're fee-based advisors, they're interested in the outcome, If you can find one that you trust and you're going to listen to, and then you could put a strategy together, then go forward. If not, it might be that you're in the right place. But what you can't do to yourself is continue to move in and out, in and out, in and out, because you're not helping yourself. And you would agree with that?
Well, you know, I do agree with that. I've been kind of successful at timing, which is kind of, you know, I guess that's just the luck of the draw. But the last, maybe 7-8 months ago, it took a big drop, and I just kind of got out before that big drop. Now it's back up again, so, but so know, who's to say?
So, yeah, Wayne, so what happens is, when I was a very young man, I used to trade individual stocks. And then when I went back and compared myself to the index.
That's right.
Right? So you got to compare yourself to what a buy and hold portfolio would have been going
for that
versus in and out for that portion.
And what
of time.
Kind of risk you're taking on that.
That is correct.
Yeah. So
appreciate the
that
call.
That is our advice. And studies have shown that the market timing doesn't work long term. It just, there's no one's been able to predict the markets accurately over a longer period of time. So anyway, good luck to you, Wayne. Glad you called. And I really do think spending some time on just educating yourself on even the behavioral finance stuff would be helpful just to get a good, clear understanding. Because trying to look at the tea leaves and then figuring out when to invest is it's not a good strategy long term. We're taking a quick break. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number here. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. This is Hanson McLean.
Wondering if you're on track with your financial matters? Call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Get a podcast of Hanson McLean's Money Matters delivered each week to your computer or mobile device. Simply visit moneymatters.com. And now, back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I don't know what this disco stuff
John,
we're listening to.
John, no disco.
What is this?
None.
Is this disco? What is it? Justin Timberlake. Well, that's not disco.
How old am I? Can't tell the difference between Justin Timberlake and disco.
Well, he did have that kind of high voice going, which Justin Timberlake has.
John, don't play anything
what
that
year
even
is that?
Sounds like disco.
What year is that? It's
two weeks old. Oh, my children are right.
I never listened to new music that, you know. We did tell you to have a variety.
Yeah, my children are right. I am old. Please do not play anything on this show that even remotely sounds like disco. That is a dark spot on America's history.
A dark spot.
Disco is a dark spot on America's history.
All right.
I've been watching this series, though, called The 60s and the 70s. I've been watching it on Netflix, but I don't know.
And your point is?
They're a little segment on disco and how it coincided with the use of illicit drugs.
No way.
Yep.
You mean like rock music and illicit drugs?
Yes.
That is hard to believe.
It all goes hand in hand there, Mr. Hanson.
You know, what we failed to play over the last few weeks is any Prince music. Speaking of rock music.
I'm going to say it. I'm the first guy that's come out in the media recently. I'm not a Prince fan.
Oh, we can't have the rights to play it. He was just told. That's right. You can't get it on iTunes.
Anyway, I've never been a Prince fan. I'm sorry he died. He seemed like a nice enough guy. Sorry about the elevator, the incident, the whole thing. I'm sorry he didn't have an estate plan. I'm not a fan.
Of his music?
No.
I liked his really... I listened to him in high school, like before the Purple Rain movie and all that stuff. I actually kind of liked some of his early stuff.
I didn't even know there was a movie called Purple Rain.
Oh, come on.
No, I did not.
Huh?
I thought it was a song. There was a movie?
A whole movie.
Was it him singing or?
Yes, it was. Others singing. The time on there singing and the whole movie.
Anyway, back. This is the financial. If you just tuned in, financial show.
He had no will.
No will.
If you haven't heard that,
if you haven't heard that by now.
I mean, yeah. But he didn't have any kids either.
No, he did not.
Then the state decides. He had some half siblings that'll split. Estate planning is all based upon the state in which you reside.
And the laws of
that state.
In that
state. So if you have a will or trust drafted in one state and you move to another, we typically recommend you have it reviewed by an attorney in that particular state.
Talk to a client that they did their will in California. They live in the summers they live in Maryland, and in the winters they live in Florida, and they own properties in both states. But they're residents in the state of Florida. Good tax move. So seven months
out of the year in Florida, the other time in Maryland.
Yep. So nice retirement, by the way. Very nice people.
They're nice people.
They're very nice people, and they are enjoying retirement. She said,
"Did they start in California?"
They did start in California, and they sold their property here and moved to Maryland. And
I tell you what's been amazing. Now, this radio program is broadcast throughout California, and one market outside of California, which is also west, Denver, which is a great city, by the way. But it's amazing to see how many people have left California at retirement. I mean, I haven't actually went through and did the math, but we have hundreds.
Oh, is a percentage of our clients that actually end up leaving the state of California.
Hundreds have left California.
And they normally have decent asset sizes. They can pick up and move. They're normally the more well-heeled people that leave. And it doesn't mean that they leave completely. Sometimes they'll buy a condo. And because they have family here or they like to come back and visit.
But sometimes they go to leave California to follow their family because the family has moved
to a lower income tax state normally.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's an interesting thing. We were chatting before about behavioral finance.
With Wayne on the last segment. And if you missed that segment, you could go to our... We sound like we're showing our radio show on the podcast. Marketing says... Promote the podcast. So if you go to HansonMcLean.com, go to iTunes and then type in Hanson McLean. You'll find the podcast and you can listen to it weekly.
And there's a little note here, by the way, that says to us, reminder to provide Hanson McLean name, phone number, Money Matters website, and relevant piece of content to each caller in each segment.
Where is that?
Right here on the top of our list.
From marketing. We're just financial guys. So this marketing stuff.
Reminder, listeners can visit moneymatters.com for our podcast or search Hanson McLean on iTunes. Maybe new to them, but our radio show has been airing for more than 20 years. See, these are the notes we get.
From marketing.
And
so
here.
So we were talking about behavioral finance.
And a discounted offer will expire on May 30th, says here at the bottom, for my book.
So you go to moneymatters.com/book. So
behavioral finance.
We were talking about behavioral finance. Marketing's happy. We went through all that big list. There you go. Go upstairs and count your demographics.
See how many MQLs came off of that.
All right. So behavioral finance.
We're not supposed to do that stuff, by the way.
I know.
That's what I found. We're entertained ourselves.
We're going to march down to human resources tomorrow for a little talking to.
Human resources.
So,
yeah.
Behavioral finance. So last call was Wayne. And Wayne retired. And people's view of retirement, actually, of their assets in retirement often changes. And Scott recently wrote an article in Kiplinger's that addressed this exact thing.
You know, it's interesting because I've been thinking about this. And we did a number of workshops, 7 personal decision points, workshops as well as webinar. And actually, it was in doing these workshops that I really thought more about this. And it's, you know, as we're working, we've got a few things going for us when it comes to investing. First of all, we're saving money on a regular basis. So we've got money going into, let's call it our 401k typically. We have money going into our 401k.
You're saving, yes.
So each month when we get our statement, even if the markets are down, we've got some money that's being added. So let's say we put in 10 grand throughout the year and we had a year when the markets took 8,000 away, we still had a growth in our account.
It still looks okay.
It was not good, but we still had some growth in our account. So we've got money that's going in. Secondly, the money is not needed for today. It's all future money. So we've got long-term on our side. I'm not retiring for years. Those dollars, I know it's down, but I'm supposed to be a long-term investor, so I'm not going to worry about those because those are years off my retirement time, right? So
the psychology
is long-term. And third, we're busy. I'm working. I got all these things going on. I don't have time to go on like account every day and check my 401k balance and analyze which mutual fund did this or which did that. Should I move it? I got too many things going on. I'm working. I got a stressful job. Now we transition into retirement. First of all, we've got more time than we've ever had in our life.
Yes.
Lots of time.
You're not working. Hopefully, you're still engaged.
But usually when you first transition to retirement,
it takes a while to find your sea legs.
You got lots of time. I mean, you might be doing some hobbies and stuff or cleaning up the garage or remodeling or whatever. But you've got time in your hands and time you can spend looking at your investments. And usually it's not the days that go up too much that bother you. It's the days that goes down. So you've got time in your hands. Secondly, the future's now.
Yeah, you're no longer saving. It's important what they do now.
Right?
So it bothers you more.
You've been saving for the future. Now is the future. You've been saving for your retirement. Now is retirement. It's like, whoa, although you might have another 20 or 30 years to live, you still view it as these are dollars that I've saved for today. And that the third thing, which is challenging for most people, when they start taking an income, now you're no longer saving. Now you are withdrawing from your account each month. So if you have a year where, let's say you have a flat year, the market's you didn't make money, but you didn't lose money.
Your portfolio, even in a well-balanced portfolio, you're going to see flat years.
So now you see a decline in your account balance. So you really have those things going against you. And it's what we find is so important for people as they move and transition to retirement, which is one of the reasons we've really specialized in this over the last 20-some odd years. It's just the psychology of an investor. It changes as you move into retirement. And what we found, it's so important to just have an understanding of that ahead of time. It's the unmet expectations that drive us crazy in life, right? In whatever area of life that is. It's these expectations, unrealistic expectations, unmet expectations. So if you go into retirement knowing that these things are going to be happening, expecting you're going to have time on your hands to look at your portfolio more, expecting that you're going to be feeling different about your portfolio.
Expecting that there's going to be years where you're going to be disappointed or worried.
That's right. And if you can have those expectations going in, what we found here at Hanson McLean, it just makes for a better and a smoother investment experience. Because, like we can tell you, the clients, and we've been doing this a long time, the clients that have had the greatest amount of success are the ones that are able to take a longer-term view on things.
Stay with the strategy.
And when there's choppy waters, which will always happen in any investment strategy, doesn't matter what you're in, when there's choppy waters, when you've got confidence that you've got the right strategy, you'll be able to sail through those choppy waters and have success on the end. And that's clearly what we've seen with our successful clients over the years. So anyway, we are bumping up against the end of the program, which is a shame because
we just started to go.
Several topics here that we were going to get to. And didn't have
but
time
go to our website, moneymatters.com. We have lots of content and moneymatters.com/book to get a 75% discount on Scott's new book.
That's right. We are every week at this very time on this station. So we hope to have you join us again next weekend. And in the meantime, go to our website, moneymatters.com, get the podcast of this program. This has been Hanson McLean's Money Matters. We'll see you next week.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.